But I will announce for those of you who were not in Sunday school, the Bible says in Romans 5, beginning at verse 3, "And we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." And so you never pray for patience for a person. Because if you pray for patience, they're going to get tribulation to work that patience. That's God's law. And so I've been trying to be patient. Gabriel and I had set June 10th is our wedding date. And somebody's been praying for me, unfortunately, and I don't have the patience I want. So we have moved our wedding up to March 11th. That, and I'm not counting, but that's 5 days less 1 day till the date comes up. So, okay, that will be March 11th. Everyone is invited. Okay, very good. We're really glad to have everybody here this morning. We all do something. We do it involuntarily most of the time. Something happens that you're not expecting. Something happens that is maybe an emergency, maybe a shock, maybe a situation you never anticipated. And at the time, your reaction is one that is natural. You call out to God. There's a lot of scripture that deals with that. But this morning, I want to look at an incident that involves Jonah. Most of you know, have probably read the story of Jonah or the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. But I'd like to read the first six verses as our opening this morning. And then we will take a look at calling out to God. Jonah 1, 1 through 6. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid." Mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. There is something that every one of us do. We call out to God in times of need and in times of gratitude. If we're thankful, we call out to God. The only problem with this is that a lot of folks don't realize that there is a passage of Scripture in the Psalms, in Psalm 66, 18, that tells us something about our cries to God. It tells us in Psalm 66, 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That's a very serious verse, folks. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Let's look at a few verses around that verse so we can take the verse in context to make sure it says what we think it does. Psalm 66, 17 through 20. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended unto the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. David is the one who wrote those. King David was the one. What a triumphant statement that he makes about when he called out to the Lord. You know, it's quite reassuring that we can cry out and know that God hears us. Just this morning, I cried out to God, and he answered with an answer that I had asked for. Sometimes there's a great lesson to be learned, and from a simple story like Jonah, even the shipmaster, the captain of the ship, I don't know that he knew the God that we worship. But he knew that if there was going to be an answer, if the ship was going to be spared, if it was going to be saved, that some God had to do it. So he had everybody on the ship praying to their gods, and there's a lot of different gods. At least they think there are. There's only one true God, and that's the God that we worship. That's the God that we can know through the Lord Jesus Christ. But this shipmaster, he asked everybody on the ship to call out to God, knowing that it was going to be a God that was going to save them. He didn't know which God. He didn't know whether somebody on the ship really had a connection to a God. So he wanted everybody on the ship to pray to their God. And he chided Jonah for not praying, for being asleep, because maybe Jonah was the one who knew the real God. And he did. That's right. Jonah had had God call out to him to tell him to go to the city of Nineveh, which was a very large city, well over 100,000 people, and to warn them that God was unhappy with them, that they were doing wrong. They were not obeying him, not worshiping him. They were worshiping all kinds of idols. And we can all have idols in our lives, even today. We do sometimes. Might be a house, a car, a person. So the captain wanted everybody to pray that a God might hear his person and respond. Well, God did hear. And he did respond. The interesting thing about this incident was that even the captain knew that it had to be a God to deliver them. A God. Question this morning would be, who is your God? Buddha? Muhammad? Or the creator of this universe? Hopefully that's the God. Hopefully you know him personally, because you can. I lived 20 years of my life without knowing God. I don't know how many years of your life you might have lived without knowing God. But there was a time, and the time for me was November 5th of 1961. I called out to God, and his Holy Spirit had brought me under conviction that I needed him. I needed him to clean up my heart, my life. And he did. And he'll do the very same thing for you. If you don't know him this morning, all you have to do is call out. And if you do it in sincerity, he will answer. God had asked Jonah to go to Nineveh and warn them. And Jonah hated the people of Nineveh. He really did. He hated them. He would rather run, get on a ship, and run away from God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Where do you run to get away from God? There's no place. He's everywhere. He made all of this. He is everywhere. We call that omnipresence. He knows everything, omnipotence. You can't run away from God. You can try, but you cannot succeed. He is going to know where you are. He is still going to want you to do what he wants you to do. And so he's not going to let you rest. Part of the proof of the universal belief in God is that almost everyone, whether they say they're an atheist or an agnostic or whatever they call themselves, whatever label they give to themselves, at particular times, times of stress, times of emergency, call out to God. I've heard some very wicked people call it, "Oh God." And that is a call to God. He may not hear it if the person has wickedness in their heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, remember that verse, Psalm 66:18. David understood, King David of Israel understood that if he had iniquity in his heart, God would not hear him, even if he called out. I believe that the ship's captain wanted everybody on board to call out to their God. Perchance, one person on that ship knew the real God, and he would be delivered. I wonder if you really understand what calling out to God does for you. When you call out, you are asking God to intervene in whatever situation you find yourself in. There are times when we are powerless. Powerless to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Powerless to fix whatever is fixed. And this captain wanted everyone to call out. Some of the calls have been because of powerlessness. Other times I've been seeking direction from God, and I will call out to him. And we all need direction. That's why he sent his Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost, was so that we would have someone within us, if we know Jesus Christ, within us to guide us. If we know Jesus Christ, that's not just a fire escape. A lot of people think it is. It's not. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we are his servant. Not his Lord, his servant. And he has a purpose. There is no one sitting in this room this morning that does not have a purpose from God And you may never have called out to him seeking Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You may never have called out to him in seeking him to help you. But he has a purpose for you. Before you were born, God tells us he knows us. And he does. And when you are born, there is already a purpose for your life. And when that purpose is fulfilled, at that point, God could take you home. That's not a bad thing. There are parts of this life that are not so great. Many of you have experienced them. There are so many illustrations in the Word of God of people calling out to God with tremendous results when God hears their plea. David many times called out to God as a king of Israel, and he wrote most of the Psalms, part of the Proverbs. But there is a particular psalm that I would like to share with you this morning. Think about as we hear it. Psalm 4, verses 1 through 8. And it could almost be our psalm. Could be your psalm. Psalm 4, 1 through 8 says, "Hear me when I call, O God, for my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in time that the corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." David was pleading for God to hear him. We need to realize that David, who wrote the 66th Psalm, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me," tells us that if our heart contains sin, God is not going to hear our call. In Isaiah 64:6, Isaiah writes, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." As a pastor for 60 years, not been a pastor, missionary part of that time, as a pastor, I've heard a lot of people tell me, "Oh, I don't have any sin in my heart." And folks, everybody in this auditorium, including myself, can have sin in their hearts because we are sinners. Jesus didn't come to save the righteous people. There aren't any. We are all sinners, whether we want to admit it or not. But all we have to do to take care of that sin is confess it to God and repent, turn away from it. And God will hear our prayer. He will forgive us. And if we call out to Him, He will save us. He will cause us to be born again by God's Holy Spirit. David, in the Psalms, goes on to acknowledge that God delivered him because of his call. And you may find yourself in a situation this morning that you don't really know how to get out of. It may look hopeless, but God loves you. He has told us that. God is love. Real love. God is not lust. Many times what we experience, we call love, is lust, and it is not love. But God loves us, and He wants us to be His child, each one of us. There's no one exempted. David goes on to tell us to live for the Lord, and that is what I would encourage you this morning, that you would find a relationship with Him, one that is real. It is real. We are meeting here this morning because of a real relationship that some of us have to the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants that kind of a relationship with everybody. David was calling upon God to solicit God's mercy. It can be an encouragement from David to each of us to know that God heard his call and did give him mercy. Think about all the Old Testament saints, including David, King David. They did not have the Son of God who had died for them. Jesus hadn't been born yet. They had to keep what we find in the Old Testament. They had to keep the law, and they couldn't do it. You and I can't do it. Oh, we might try, but we're still going to sin. We have an asset that they did not have, the Old Testament saints. They had to keep the law, or they had to bring a sacrifice. For those of you who don't understand how it worked in the Old Testament, if they sinned, and they did, in order to have that sin forgiven, they had to bring a lamb, or a sheep, or a goat, or an ox, or a cow, to the door of the temple. They had to offer that animal as a sacrifice by killing it themselves. I'm not going to go into how they did it, what all took place. But they had to sacrifice that animal. That's why they called it a sacrifice. Jesus Christ, that was a picture of what Jesus Christ would do one day. And He did. The Bible tells us in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman. And He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life. And for that, they crucified Him, put Him to death on that cross. He hung there. He bled to death. That shed blood is what covers your and my sin. That was his sacrifice for us. That's what we can enjoy today. And I use that word enjoy because it fills our hearts with joy to accept him and to be born again. And I do hope that everyone here this morning has experienced that. If you have not, we'll be glad to sit down with you and explain it. David and the Old Testament saints had to live by keeping the law. We are in the age of grace, God's grace, his unmerited love. And it provides a way for us that we can come and know him. And we can call out to him without sin in our heart. Well, if we confess it, he'll forgive it. The Bible tells us that. We shall confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can confess, then we go to him and we plead with him. We call out to him. I've been talking about so far about us calling out to God. And many times we all do. We find a situation, we're powerless. We have needs that we cannot meet ourselves. Years before I got into the ministry, I was a businessman, international. I hated to be dependent upon another company or another person to have to do something in order for me to be able to do what I was supposed to do. Have you ever had somebody that they had to do something before you could accomplish what you needed to accomplish? And they didn't have the motivation you had. Maybe your motivation was you needed to get paid so you could pay everybody. And so you were dependent upon them. I hated to be dependent upon somebody else. But you know what the truth of the matter is? You and I are all dependent on somebody else. We are. There wouldn't be any light here if somebody someplace else wasn't doing their job. Somebody from time to time has to repair your automobile. And sometimes they can't do it in 5 minutes. They want it for several days. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do, walk? I don't care what you do. They're the only game in town. But you know what? If we're dependent on God for what we need, you can trust him. You can trust him. I find that most of the time I call out to God is because I've stepped from God's divine will into his permissive will. God will let us all do some things, but they may not be his perfect will for us. It may not be exactly the thing that he wants. But he lets us do it anyway because he wants us to learn the lesson of being in God's perfect will. There are a lot of things in God's perfect will that are good, things that you want, things you want your life built around. For example, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you call out to God and you say, Jesus, save me, forgive my sin. Come into my heart, come into my life. And he does that. At that very split second, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. He comes to live in your heart. Not this organ that pumps blood, but what makes you you? Where your emotions are at. God does that. And from that day on, you have the Holy Spirit living within you to guide you, to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. And you know what he brings when he comes in? It's talked about in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those come in, and they are within you from that moment on for the rest of your life. Only God can give joy. He is the only one. Oh, we can all enjoy happiness. We hear a good joke or something good is going on and we're excited about it. But that's just happiness. That's on the outside. Joy is inside. And that means everything. Nobody can take that away. It's there all the time. Calling out to God. What does that really mean? Well, we've thought about calling out to God. But there's also another side to that that I haven't even mentioned yet. I will mention it. I'm not going to go into it. I don't have time to go into it deeply. Let me share with you some more verses of Scripture. It doesn't matter, by the way, folks, it does not matter what I say. It's what God says that matters. And that's all that matters. But Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 6, 8, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" People, God will call out to you. God will call out to you at various times. It's not a one-way street. God has issued you a call. Maybe you feel a stirring in your heart that says, "Oh, I want that." And maybe I've had that and didn't realize or understand what it was. God calls out to each one of you at some time in your life. He called out to me November 1st, 1961. And I responded. He's going to call out to you. He might call out to you this morning. He might call out to you tomorrow. You don't necessarily have to be in a church. There's nothing special here. Some folks who love the Lord, some people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but that doesn't necessarily have to be. You can call out to God in the privacy of your bedroom, your living room, your kitchen, the middle of the woods. You can call out to God anywhere. And he will hear. If you don't have iniquity in your heart, if you're calling on him to save you, to get rid of that, he will hear. Can you think of any reason why God would not hear you when you call out to him? For him to save you? To forgive you? It's real. I love what we just read in Isaiah 6, 8. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever surrendered to God to be his bond servant? Have you ever called out to God in surrender, making yourself available to him for full-time service? Our lives, whether we realize it or not, already belong to him. And as his servants, we are actually supposed to be engaged in full-time ministry. Could our Heavenly Father be calling out to us and we're not listening? Or are we attempting to flee like Jonah did? When God called Jonah, Jonah took off. He didn't want to hear what God had to say. Many people, you know, are afraid of God. They're afraid he's going to take part of their life away. And I can assure you this morning that he is not going to take anything. He's going to give. He's going to give love and joy and peace. That's what he's there for. He's not there to take away. Could our Heavenly Father be calling out to us as he did to Jonah? And could we think, well, okay, God is calling me and we're going to do a little bit for him. How much of your life belongs to him? Supposed to be 100%. But folks, even my life doesn't belong 100% to him. I have my own desires. I have the things I do. If we're doing a little bit for him, and let's say we give him an hour a day, an hour. That's less than 5%. What are you doing with the other 95%? A couple of hours, okay, that's 10%. What are you doing with the other 90%? Ten percent would be about 2.5 hours a day. How much of your life are you actually spending for God? How much of your soul does Jesus want to save? How much did he save? 100%. Would you be satisfied with 5%? Would you be satisfied with 10%? No, I don't think you would be. Now, thinking about it is much different than doing something. Talk is cheap. It's our actions that matter. It's what we do with what we know from this book. And if we don't know this book, our life is going to be in trouble. As a former missionary and current pastor, it's easy for me to ask questions about service. You say, well, they're paying you to do that. Yes, that's true. But you'd be surprised at how much sense that works out for an hour. One who saved us because he loved us is the same one who gives each one of us a purpose for our life. Would you consider calling out to God with the words that Isaiah did when God called out to him, "Here am I. Send me." Father, we're so grateful that you do love us. We're so grateful that we can know the Lord Jesus Christ, know that our sins are forgiven, know that we have eternal life with you, know that you have given us a purpose, you make our lives worthwhile. Thank you, Father. Now help us as we go our separate ways to be faithful, to fulfill the purpose that you have given to each one of us. And Father, may we be fulfilling it for you and not ourselves. May your will be done in each heart. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.